Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations, where every week we dive into the topics of mental health, adversity, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan. And this week, we're back with another powerful episode where I dive deep into functional health with renowned expert, Lynn Rivers. Together, we unravel the profound connection between our gut health overall well-being, including its impact on our mental health. With Lynn at the helm, we embark on a journey through the intricate ecosystem residing within our digestive system. Her expertise illuminates how our gut health serves as a cornerstone for maintaining optimal health and vitality. We explore the symbiotic relationship between our gut microbiome and various bodily functions from digestion to immune response and mood regulation. Lynn is a functional health and wellness expert and educator. She teaches people all over the world how to take their health, which includes their mind, body, and spirit, into their own hands. She has over 15 years of education in the holistic health field and assists people in overcoming chronic health conditions and mental disorders. As part of her educational background, which is very diverse, it includes holistic functional medicine, microbiome therapy, spiritual counseling, Eastern and Western massage therapy, neuro-linguistic programming, yoga therapy, life coaching, being a death doula, hypnosis, and human design analysis. While her educational background is impressive, her journey sets her apart. She can connect with people on a wide range of traumatic events, which she's had to overcome herself, such as death of all family members and her partner, abandonment, neglect, sexuality, growing up with an alcoholic, relationship trauma, homelessness, career challenges, lack of direction, feelings of hopelessness, identity, anger and fear, addiction, illness, near-death experiences. I really hope you can get a lot out of this episode. And if you could leave a 5-star review or a comment at the end of the episode, I would truly appreciate it. And a brief word for our sponsors. One thing that's really helped my mental health is a daily routine. Every morning after doing some breathing exercises and cold exposure, I like a smooth cup of coffee. I've been drinking Four Sigmatics coffee for the last 3 years, and it's been very beneficial for my routine. I especially like their Lion's Mane and Chaga Mushrooms coffee, which helps me with my mental focus and energy every morning. Four Sigmatics is on a mission to infuse functional mushrooms into the foods and supplements people love and use daily. Their goal is to enrich minds and improve well-being. By pairing Lion's Mane with coffee for focus or reishi with cacao for a sense of calm, their brews, blends, and powders get everyone in a good headspace so they can focus on what matters most. Check out Four Sigmatic and use the code EASYCONVERSATIONS, all one word, at checkout for 10% off your order. Today's episode is also sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can be very difficult for many people to start. In my personal experience, when I was going through my divorce, therapy allowed me to bridge a significant gap. With the help and support of my therapist, I was able to uncover a lot of repeated patterns and behaviors that were impacting my life. Through goal setting, I was able to focus on things that required attention, which allowed me to improve the relationship that I had with myself and, by extension, the relationship that I had with others. As a therapist, I've been able to see the positive benefits that clients are able to derive through healthy rapport and goal setting. BetterHelp allows a lot of flexibility where clients can schedule video sessions, sessions on the phone, or through messaging. In most cases, BetterHelp will match you up with a licensed therapist within 48 hours. If that's not a good fit for you, BetterHelp will work with you to find the right fit. Join over 4 million users today by following the link in the description or going to BetterHelp, that's H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/EZ10 to get 10% off your first month of therapy. Lynn, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I'm really excited about having this conversation with you today. We've been able to talk about it offline, and I think there's a lot of value in what we're hoping to cover today for many reasons, specifically around mental health and general well-being. But before we go down that path, I do want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners, share a little bit about what it is that you do and what's brought you here today.
Yep. First off, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you. And yes, my name is Lynn Rivers, and I am a functional health and wellness expert. I help people all over the world learn how to take their health into their own hands to uncover the root cause of the majority of disease and mental health disorders. And the reason I do this is because I had my own journey with it. I started off this journey very early on in life, really sick. I had pneumonia when I was 1 and 2. That created a slew of other symptoms and a lot of PTSD and trauma. And I grew up with an alcoholic father. The majority of my family died before I was 15, and the rest followed soon after, and had chronic health conditions due to being in the hospital a lot as a child. I had asthma, in and out of the hospitals, endometriosis, a lot of hormonal imbalances. It just cascaded into a lot of other symptoms that eventually turned into 2 near-death experiences at the same time that I lost my partner to the same cancer that my mom died of when I was 15. So it was this ongoing thing of constant health issues. And I was suicidally depressed the majority of my teens and 20s. And so it really came to the head of, why is this all happening? And what can I do about it? This isn't okay. This isn't something that we have to live with. And I really just wanted to uncover it from a perspective that obviously the Western medical system wasn't going to be able to uncover. But more than that, even functional medicine practitioners, they weren't even able to help me work through certain things. And so I dove into all these different, modalities, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit, but it really just came down to, I have to figure this out for myself. And then I started helping other people through it too.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure we'll unpack a lot of it today. And I guess right off the bat, for listeners that are probably not aware, and myself included, I'm not fully well versed on what's functional wellness, just perhaps starting from there.
Yeah. So functional wellness is uncovering the root cause of disease and ailments of any kind. It's about going to the source and not just pointing at an organ and saying there's dysfunction here. It's going to the root and understanding that your body is an entire organism and it needs different components in order for it to function properly. And so you really find the root of the illness. Not cancer is not an illness, for example. It is a symptom of something being out of balance. And so that's what we do in functional medicine.
Yeah. And I think that's fairly new in the Western world, because we're used to just being given prescriptions, or to your point, looking at what's this issue here and being a bit more reactive. Whereas it sounds like the functional side is being a bit more proactive and, to your point, getting to the root. Yeah, and that same idea applies to cancer, right? And I've mentioned this before too, that we all live with cancerous cells in our body. So what's bringing that out? So I know you personally shared a lot that you went through personally in your life. How have you been able to now manage that? Because you talked about a lot of chronic problems like asthma and just general health issues that you shared. Where are you now with all of it?
Yeah. So I actually like to tell this story about how I got rid of my asthma. And I think it's when my mom died and I was 15, that was the first point where I really started asking, because I had already lost the majority of my family members before her. But when my mom died, it was more of like, why is this happening? Why did they get more sick when they went into the system? And as a child, you go along with what people tell you. And especially in the 80s, it was like, doctors are smart. They know best, right? And so you just have the mentality that you just keep going, and they give you prescriptions and they give you antibiotics and you just take them and that's it. And when I was 17, I had an infection that just kept coming back over and over. And every time I'd go to the hospital, would give me antibiotics. And something I want to say it was divine intervention. It was a download that happened because I knew nothing of the natural world at that time. And the internet was just taking off. And we had AOL dial-up. And I just remember the sound of it. And something said, look for a natural solution to this. And I didn't expect anything to be on there because it was the beginning of Google. And so I jumped on and I found this thing that popped up that said, do this for this certain infection. And I was like, what do I have to lose? Nothing else has worked for years already. And so I do it. And literally 2 days later, it's gone and it never came back. And that for me was the aha moment of there is something to this and I want to know more. And it wasn't soon after that I was researching asthma and understanding the root cause of asthma. And I got rid of the asthma I had my entire childhood that put me in and out of the hospital. And I was told, you're going to have to live with this the rest of your life. Like, this is just something, you know, you have and you're going to be a healer and all of this. And I believed it until this moment of, oh, hey, look, I just got rid of it. Now, what do I do with this? How do I move forward? And so that kind of cascaded my journey of understanding my body. And it took a long time until I got to functional medicine, which really uncovered the root cause of all my hormonal imbalances and depression and everything going on in my brain. And it was about 5 years ago that I really started diving into functional medicine and I really got a good grasp on it. And let me preface this first. I actually, my last near-death experience, I got so sick from being in the hospital for the week that I was in there because I was on so many antibiotics without having any kind of probiotic. And it wrecked my gut microbiome to the point where I could only eat two foods. I was so sick that I had histamine issues to the point where I tried throwing a frisbee one day and I had to sit down for 15 minutes. I almost had a heart attack from throwing a frisbee one time. So I got really sick and I had lesions all over my skin. It was just a really bad situation. And once I was going through the functional medicine and learning, I got myself back to a place where I am great. I'm climbing. I play pickleball every day. I play volleyball. Like I'm healthy again. And it's because I was able to cover this. But so many people don't have that. So many people are dealing with these issues. Right. And so I'm in a space of genuine health at this time.
No, and that's amazing. I'm glad to hear that. I do want to come back to how you were able to get yourself to understand functional wellness and just to understand in terms of qualifications. But before that, I'm just curious because asthma is something that a lot of people live with, myself included. And for me, I've been able to get over it just by being active. But also what I've realized is anytime I'm stressed, or for example, if I'm not speaking my truth in life, if I'm going through certain circumstances or situations where I'm not being my authentic self, I find it hard to breathe. And that's when the asthma kicks in. So for me, what I realize is when I'm living in my authenticity and not living in stressful situations, the asthma is not really an issue. So I'm just curious to understand how you were able to overcome it and if what I'm sharing resonates.
Yes. So this is something I could unpack on a big level, right? Because what I learned in healing my body was that we have a physical body to get us through in this life.
Yeah.
And it needs its own thing to run properly, right? Our spirit is separate. We are spirit and our body is vessel. And our bodies are comprised of the same elements as earth. And if we don't have those minerals, it can't function properly. Well, three of the first things that I go to with clients are micronutrient panels, their diet, obviously their habits. And one of the big things that I'm finding is connected to all illness, and which is actually what I got rid of my asthma super quickly, is insulin resistance. And over 88% of the population worldwide has insulin resistance because we're eating high carb diets. And so when you talk about stress and how you're in that stress space and that's why it flares, stress is a component of insulin resistance. right? And we stress more, that it just happens, like it's a natural cycle. And so one feeds the other, right? And I cut out sugars and all these different certain things that I knew my body was affected by, never had a problem again. It was that simple, right? And insulin resistance is something that I don't think people are even aware of, because the reality is the majority of people who have it, they don't even know it.
Right.
Until it becomes pre-diabetes or until it becomes diabetes. The reason for this is we're not supposed to have our blood glucose spiking that regularly. And we overeat in this society. We eat too many carbs in this society. And those are causing, it literally affects every single cell of your body. And so when your lungs function properly, your airways just not going to function, because it's like, I'm having a reaction. It's inflammation, and it just cascades, right? So it's not just one thing that the insulin resistance affects. It's everything. And for me, I can't even tell you how much sugar I ate during that time. And I was also sensitive to gluten, and I had no idea. And that was that was causing it. And so many people that I've had come to me where they did have breathing issues of many different kinds. And we're like looking at the diet. I'm like, okay, let's do these few things and see how you feel. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, like it would just help them right away. It wasn't even like the inflammation can reduce in your body within days. And if you know how to not set that off again, great. Right. But it does come down to, what are you doing in your life? And are you setting yourself off? Are you putting yourself in, you know, stressful situations? And who are you surrounding yourself with? Because those do play into the fact that insulin resistance is going to take hold on a deeper level.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like the correlation of, yes, your diet, but also your situations, and how can you change those? And so obviously I don't know your life, so I can't say, just do X, Y, Z. But yeah, that's what it really came down to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think to be able to work past the stress, I did have to change the environment. And there is a component of diet too, because what you're sharing there, it makes sense to me, because when we're stressed, we often will stress eat, right? We're not mindful of healthy habits because we're just so consumed by whatever is creating that stress, for that matter. And what I'm hearing also is it's just, then it becomes a cycle. So you're feeding it, and it's just one loop, right? And that can perpetuate into a lot of the health issues we see. Now, one of the things I've also come to understand and realize is not a lot of this is taught in medical school. So when you go to your family doctor or physician, they're not looking at these things, right? And we touched on that briefly. So what differentiates you? If someone were to make the argument, why would I come to you for this advice? And what are you offering that my doctor can't?
Everything. And I'm serious about that, because the Western medical system is set up for acute conditions. Mm-hmm. When I had appendix ruptured, they're who I wanted to go to, right? So they're not like, we can't make them obsolete, but their business is to help people in acute conditions. They're not set up for chronic health conditions. Mm-hmm. And that is where functional medicine comes in to actually help you heal. So if you're looking for the quick fix and you just want the pill to mask your symptoms, go to the Western system. If you actually want to heal and live a healthy life, so when you're in your older years, you're actually still able to function, you need to step outside of it. Like it's a responsibility of your health is in your hands. And we know this information now. So it's no longer like this hidden secret. If you want to get better, you are not going to do that by going to your doctor, right? They don't even prescribe nutrition at this point still. Like it's really a big deal if you go to your doctor and they say, okay, this is a diet that we're going to put you on. That's unfortunately what's still happening.
Right.
And the other thing that I want to mention here is, so I went deeper into so many other conditions because I had to, because had I gone to the Western medical system, I would have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome and all of these different things. But the reality is diagnoses are not the disease. They're symptoms. As I was saying earlier, they're symptoms of an imbalance. One of the things I like to point out, because you're talking about asthma and I had asthma, and a lot of things that people don't know about are like plant compounds, for example, have these neurotoxins, and one of them is called salicylates. And we're so unaware of actual nutrition because everyone follows these fad diets. They get onto these healthy kicks. They think being vegan is healthy. And so then we're eating all of these different compounds that are way more than we would ever get from because of importation, right? So more than we would ever have access to. And there's one called salicylates that is directly linked to asthma. And for myself, when I pulled those out of my diet, not only did I see change in the way that my breathing worked, but I was an aggressive child. And in my 20s too, I had a lot of aggression. And this specific compound is linked directly to autism, depression, asthma, other breathing conditions, and so many other things. And people don't realize that when you have a dysbiotic gut, meaning your gut is out of balance and there's a lot of bad bacteria that's overtaking, and you have leaky gut, these compounds are going to seep into your system, which so many people have this, and you're seeping into your system, and they're neurotoxins. So they're directly going to affect the way you feel, the way you operate, and the way you think. And it's just, even knowing these small things, this isn't taught anywhere. I had to dig for this stuff. I'm an independent researcher, so I had to dig for this information. And no one talks about it. No one understands why these diets are actually affecting people more negatively when they're supposed to be healthy. And so there's so much to it that you are not going to touch. And I can't tell you how many doctors I talk to on podcasts where they're like, wait, what's this? What is this compound? And even though it's aspirin, so a lot of people who can't take aspirin, it's because it's a salicylate. It's a really high concentrated salicylate. And so it's just, there's so much. You're not going to get any of this information by going to a Western system.
No, and I appreciate that. And like you said, you had to do a lot of that research, and not everyone has that time, nor do they know where to start. And another thing I find when I go to the doctors here, at least where I'm at in Canada, I'll go for a regular blood work, but we're not really getting into the nitty gritty of looking at the biomarkers. And I've had to request certain biomarkers to be tested for when I go for blood work, so I can do the independent work on myself and look at, okay, where am I falling in certain things? Where do I need to focus my attention on from a health perspective? So that's another thing that we don't really do. Or the doctors are not either, they're not recommending it or not taking the initiative on. And for me, I've had to do that for myself, because at the end of the day, the way I look at it is like, this is my body, this is my health, this is my being, and I'm the one responsible for it. But unfortunately, we live in a society where people just outsource it, right? They're like, I've got a doctor, he or she will worry about it for me.
Yes. And again, it comes back to that self-responsibility, right? I think we live in that space where we want to pass off the responsibility because it's a lot easier, right? So if someone else is doing this for me, I don't have to think about it. And it's really sad. And so I'm creating a course. I don't know if I told you that I'm actually creating a course right now. And it's literally $50 in the pre-launch because I want people to have access to the information in order to be able to go to their doctors and, like you, get this test measured, whatever test measurements, and then know what to do with that information themselves, right? Because they're not going to get a lot of information. And so I'm creating a course where people can literally learn everything they need to understand about their body and how it functions and, like, the root cause of the majority of illness, and to actually do their own work and to do their own healing, because this isn't accessible to people. And as a functional medicine practitioner here in the US, I have to charge people $3,000 in order to get testings that they need, because it's not covered by insurance. If you want to get more, it's not covered by insurance. And that's the way that you can remember this. You're either going to continue getting sick, they're going to keep prescribing you medications, which is only masking the symptoms, and you're going to eventually end up worse. And so 5 years from now, if you're in the same boat, or it's going to potentially get worse, that's the best question you could ask yourself. Am I going to be happy 5 years from now? Where I'm at is, am I going to be happy still being in this situation? And that's where you just need to, like, turn it around, do what you're doing, ask bigger questions, and learn about your body. Your this vessel is going to be with you the rest of your life. And it's your responsibility to know it and to know how to take steps forward.
Yeah. I tend to use that analogy. Like, people will spend more time researching their vehicle and what needs to be done and the maintenance and all the services, but not spend that kind of time and do the research on their own bodies, which is unfortunate. And we talked about trauma and a lot of chronic stress. There is that loop there, right? So the trauma and the stress will impact your body and your gut, which will continue to then impact your well-being and perpetuate further, often leading to a lot of the disorders we also see with people experiencing depression or just struggling to work past the chronic stress, which then can often lead to a lot of the illnesses that we see. So in your case, and perhaps we can expand beyond that, but do you think it was the trauma feeding the problems, or vice versa, or it was a combination of both?
No. And so this is one of my favorite topics, right? And it's something that we're not talking about at all at this point. And I love that. I just literally, after I started doing podcasts a few months ago about this, I saw this woman pop up in the microbiome world who is finally bringing it to light from an even deeper perspective. But the reality is, we have experiences in life and then they're done, right? And so, yes, we do store trauma in our body, but that's more actually like the way we hold ourselves, our holding patterns where we store it in our body, but that can be moved through with somatics, okay? The thing that is actually responding and causing emotional outbursts or depression, all that, is our body. So if our body is not healthy and does not have the nutrients it needs to function, our vagus nerve is going to continue to be set off and we're going to continue being in fight or flight. And those are the things that continue to reprogram our mind to the same situation that we were in during the trauma, right? Mm-hmm. What I learned, and I went through a lot of different things in my childhood and my teen years that were really traumatic. And I was working through that left and right with therapists or somatic practitioners, all these different modalities to actually heal through the trauma. But I kept still having depressive episodes. I kept having aggressive episodes. All these things kept coming up. And I would be like, okay, well, then what am I not healing through? What have I not touched on? Because I feel like I sorted through it. Saw the beauty in all of it. I'm okay with the fact that my entire family's dead. Okay, great. Why am I still having this? And then I came to the fact that, oh, my body's not healthy. Therefore, it cannot create new neuropathways. It literally does not have what it needs to restructure this programming. And I remember finally sorting through that and getting my body in check. And then I was calm. And I remember sitting there being like, is this how I'm supposed to feel on a regular basis? Because like entire life, I was in fight or flight. And I attributed it to the trauma. But it was my body that hadn't reset and I hadn't given it the nutrients it needed. And I was eating so many carbs. And so everything was just inflamed. And I realized that in that moment, I was like, oh my God, this is how I'm supposed to feel. And the time I got triggered, it's because I was eating something that was not good for me. Mm-hmm. And I spent a good 7 years alone, really learning about myself and why I was in the situations that I was in and unpacking everything. So I know myself as well as I possibly could. And that meant every single thing that I was eating, I paid attention. I made a log. I gave myself the breaks in between so I could see how each food was affecting me. And I was able to get down to the fine line of, oh my God, every time I eat this one food, 30 minutes later, I have an explosive episode of either crying or I get super aggressive. And so I whittled down all these foods and that's how I learned how to research certain foods and what was in these foods that was causing this and all of these different attributions. And so it was just really profound for me to understand the connection between our body is what's responding. Our soul understands the trauma that happened. Mm-hmm. It's not attached to it. It's in the past. And who we are at our core doesn't worry about that at all. It's our body that's continuing to respond. Therefore, we need to go to the physical root and heal that because our souls know at a higher level, like we signed up for this trauma. There's nothing that we need to unpack there. It's fine. This was part of the evolution, but your body is storing it because it's unhealthy and it's not able to function properly. And the other way that I like to think about this is people want to talk about the chakra systems too. And there's a lot of profound understanding to that. But when you take it to the perspective of we are energy, it's not a woo-woo thing. We're scientifically, we are energy. And all of our organs also have its own energetic balance. And so see that as the chakra system, right? If you're at vibration, your liver's not going to function properly. Your organs aren't going to function properly because they have their own energy sources. And it's knowing that our body needs these certain nutrients. It needs certain movement. It needs all these different components in order for it to be in vibrational alignment, which means we feel better, we do better, right? The better we feel, one, the better we do, but also that is what we attract, right? So when people are having trouble with, oh, why do I keep attracting the sickness? And it's because the physical body has its own energetic vibration and you are what you attract. And we have to keep remembering that, right? That you're not going to attract anything better if you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And to your point, you can attract sickness, but you can also attract people that are also sick.
Correct.
Right? Or struggling in the same way. And one of the things I do agree with you, like the soul signs up for this or these experiences. But at the same time, if you're not taking care of your body, you're also not nourishing your soul. Right. And that's what I found, like when I was able to focus on not only like my physical well-being, but being mindful of what I'm putting into my body. And it's not always food. We lose sight of that. It could be, for me, what I've come to realize, it's what I'm listening to, I'm reading, what I'm exposing myself to, just outside. Anything, any sort of energy that I'm inputting into my body will not only affect me physically, but it will also affect my soul.
Correct.
Yeah. And we've touched on gut health and we've touched on a lot of things that do impact gut health, right? And again, it's not something that we're educated on. So a lot of the research I've done, antibiotics, big no for your gut health, sugars, carbs, these are things that you've already mentioned. There's so many things that we don't know, and finding the right balance between prebiotics, probiotics, getting enough fiber. And a lot of the things I've also learned is I've started to avoid grains because that also impacts my gut health. So there's that piece there that I'm hoping you can shed light on. But then also there's another piece that we don't necessarily talk about enough either, is the blood-brain barrier, right? And making sure we're getting the right health form of omega-3s and why it's important to make sure that blood-brain barrier is, I think, maintaining the integrity of it, right? And that is also affecting a lot of people because of our diets in today's world. But just wanted to put all that out there, and if you can shed some light on.
Yes. So that all comes back to the carb intake, right? So I like to really put it into perspective for people that each gram of carbohydrates spikes your blood 4 points. And the ideal, like, you don't want to reach over 140 after a meal. And that doesn't take much. And so for myself, I eat 20 grams of carbs a day. And that is what my body prefers. I found my preference with that. However, most people would do well to stick with 30 to 40 grams tops per meal. Most people are eating close to 200 grams of carbs per meal. The amount that spikes your blood glucose is off the charts, right? And the way, if you have glucose coursing through your blood on that regular of a basis, especially for people who eat 3 times a day, that is literally affecting your mood, your neurological system, all of it immensely. And so that's one of the first things that I like to remind people that, again, insulin resistance, they used to think it didn't affect your brain, but it does. It is one of the biggest contributors to all mental health disorders. And obviously, just like this, things like chronic fatigue and all of these things that we seem deem smaller. But the importance comes back to the gut microbiome. Because if you do not have a solid gut, that is going to, all of those particles are going to seep into your bloodstream and cause another inflammation marker, which is going to affect everything. We have millions of nerves coming from our gut to our brain. Mm-hmm. I think that can put it into perspective for people, millions of nerves. And so when we don't take care of our gut, that's going to affect our blood system. And so that's really where what happens in our blood is what's affecting the brain. It's not this big picture because we're supposed to have this hollow tube, right? Our digestive tract is a hollow tube. But when it's not in proper function and we have leaky gut, that's when particles seep into our system more. Now, yes, on a regular basis, our nutrients are supposed to get into the bloodstream. Yes, that's normal. However, it's when those tight junctions become even weaker that they're big enough for other particles to seep through. That's when it becomes a problem. Just yeah. For people out there who are like, oh, but we're supposed to have, it's a bigger picture. It's a bigger gap that things can get through. It's why we have issues with our blood and how it affects our brain. And so even with the omegas, when we take omegas, our gut microbiome is supposed to break them down for us properly and get them to where they need to go. When it doesn't, even those omegas can cause issues in our blood because it's a fat getting into the blood where it's not supposed to be. So right. It's all of these different things that are cascading just into the realm of our gut is really where the basis, everything takes place. And if that's not happening, it seeps in and it's just going to cause all of these different symptoms. And so there's that component. And then we go back to the grains and all of these. That's part of it. Grains are extremely high in carbohydrates. And we think, oh, I'm eating brown rice, so that should be healthier. And that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the carb load, like how much is this going to spike your glucose, which then spikes your insulin. And a lot of people, unfortunately, I think they think of insulin as something that diabetics take. People don't even realize that we actually make insulin in our body from our pancreas. And when we don't have that in control and it's always spiking, that inflammation that it causes throughout our entire system is tenfold. We can't take that moment back, right? We can obviously reverse insulin resistance, but the damage that it causes when people are not aware of this and it's just like continuing, this is why over 50% of Americans are either pre-diabetic or diabetic. And can teach people this stuff, they can be proactive, right? And so it's just like, it's a cascade of the grains and alcohol, for example. Like so many people think, oh, I can go out and have a drink from time to time and it's not going to do me any harm. That effect alone, that the 1 ounce of alcohol can do. I'm talking literally 1 ounce of alcohol can set you back 48 hours because of the process that your liver has to go through to remove the toxins, how it affects your brain cells within like the first 2 hours of drinking. There's so much to it that people just don't understand because they're not given the information to.
Yep.
Right. So it's just all of the things that you're putting into your body is going to either make you better or make you sick.
And I think the biggest piece here, again, like we haven't touched on processed foods either, but that's another aspect. I think right now, what we see in terms of what the food that's available to us that's cheap and easily accessible, that to me, I feel like is causing a lot of problem. And like it's cheaper to go eat at McDonald's than to go home and cook a healthy meal. And it's the accessibility of it. So just recognizing again what you're putting into your body and the impact that it's having. And there's a reason why now you're hearing with a lot of awareness coming around our gut microbiome and our gut health and a lot of people saying, okay, well, that's your second brain. There's a reason, right? As you've touched on it for all the reasons between like how our gut is connected to our brain and how it impacts what we put into our body. And then we don't put enough emphasis on maintaining a healthy bacteria in our gut to be able to process a lot of that food we're consuming.
Right. And so I'd like to touch back in on this because the reality is, in my opinion, our gut is our first brain because our brain was built off of eating meat. Right. And so that it's like, when you put that into perspective, It's, oh, our gut microbiome is what created all of everything that's going on up here. Mm-hmm. And so I always think, oh, this is the first brain. And even our gut instincts, right? We're always taught, go with your first instinct. Yeah. It's a gut instinct. And so I like to put it to that perspective of our brain was built off of eating meat. So there's something to that. And the other part is the amount of damage we have caused our gut microbiome because of the antibiotics that we used without knowing how it was affecting us. You can't regain certain populations. Like, we're barely touching the surface of in the microbiome world. But as of right now, like, there are certain species that they're not sure how to bring back. And we're looking at obviously doing fecal transplants at this point, mm-hmm. which have gotten a lot of research lately, and they are effective. It's still in its infantile stages, though, so it's not something that I feel comfortable doing. But there is a point to it for some people where they have these things that just aren't going away because of the lack of certain bacteria. And I think it's important to know that microbiome can affect your mood as far as depression and all of these Alzheimer's even and all of these different brain functions, but it can actually even affect like who you're attracted to and the type of foods that you want to eat, what you're, mm-hmm. what you're craving. Our gut microbiome is so baffling, and a lot of people don't even understand these aspects of it, but it's so much more than, we literally have trillions of gut microbiome. We're more gut microbiome than we are human cells.
Right.
I think if people can understand this, that it's a symbiotic relationship, and how you're taking care of your gut microbiome is how you're going to feel, that alone, I think, could change the game for people. I think they would actually start learning more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the antibiotic piece is huge, like I said earlier. And 14 years ago, I was put on this antibiotic course, and it wrecked my stomach. Like, I had IBS for years, and then I was in a stressful relationship, so that didn't help. And then when I finally got out of the relationship, I started feeling better. And then over the last few years, I've been focusing on my gut health. And yeah, I avoid taking any painkillers or any antibiotics for that matter alone. But again, I didn't know back then. Right. But knowing now, it's so important to be aware of that and avoid those things, because it does have a significant impact. And even if you don't feel it, it is damaging the flora of your gut, right? It's not good for you.
Yeah, it's not just like this, oh, right away you're going to see changes. It's an overall process for some people. The people who tend to see it more quickly is because they've been down that road already, and they've already wrecked their gut to an extent mm-hmm. where it just takes one more antibiotic to really all of a sudden notice all the symptoms. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So we've obviously touched on the piece around why maintaining your gut health and being mindful of what you're putting into your body is so important. But what can people do in terms of improving their gut health? What are some things they can do? I know we've touched on what not to do, but what can they do?
And I think that's the answer there, right? Is one, invest in yourself. Genuinely put money into your health and wellness. And I think so many people are open to spending money on all these things that they don't need, materials, all these concepts, or even like programs and stuff. But yet when it comes to their health, oh no, I can't shop organic because that's too much money. Mm-hmm. And the excuses at this point, they're obsolete, that you have no excuse. Take care of your health. And I can look at this from so many different perspectives, but the first thing, obviously invest in yourself. If you can eat certain foods organic, do it. The pesticides in the majority of produce and the antibiotic uses in so many meats and all these different products.
And the hormones too, right?
Yes. They're causing so much damage to the body. And so, yes, change your diet around to where you're not buying all these processed foods and spending money on all of these different things. And then you'll have the money to actually buy high quality meat and high quality vegetables, whatever it is that you're looking to buy. And really just learn about why these things are happening, why so many people are sick. Understand. I think education is the best thing that people can do. And we're not taught these things in school. Unfortunately, it should be elementary at this point, but we're not. So it's up to you to take responsibility to learn about these things. There's people putting all these great things out there for you to absorb, including myself. I'm doing this thing for people to learn without an excuse, right? There's all these ways to understand your body more. And I can go, okay, sure, eat a low carb diet, eat all these different things. But people aren't going to do it unless they understand why, right? You need to know the why. And so I can tell people right now, give them all these diet informations, but people will not take the advice until they understand why it'll help them. And so I think that's the best thing is just educate yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other piece I would add is, you know, there's a lot of supplements out there, and I did another episode on supplements. Supplements are good in my mind, but at the same time, a lot of these things that you and I are talking about, as far as what I've come to understand, even just maintaining your gut health, there's no supplement. Like, you can easily get a lot of like foods and nutrients directly without having to go spend a lot of money on supplements. And I think that's the biggest thing we often lose sight of, right? It's the simple things that you can find in foods like plants or even meats that can help you. And if you have a well-balanced diet, you perhaps don't need to invest all that money in supplements. I don't know what your thoughts are with that, but that's what I've come to find, that I was able to just go get the right groceries and make sure I had my fridge stacked with the right things. And I was balancing everything and managing it rather than just eating like crap and then trying to complement that with supplements. That's not the right approach in my life.
Yeah. And actually, part of the course is talking about micronutrients and the importance, because one of the things that I did was micronutrient panels for every one of my clients, right? But again, it's such an expensive test. So I went the distance and tried to figure out, how can I get people to understand their micronutrient panels without having to test? And so I did find a way. And the reality is, taking a multivitamin is actually really detrimental to your health. Because if you're eating plenty of even magnesium, for example, a lot of people don't understand the importance of micronutrients. And magnesium is one of the ones where it plays over a process in over 300 chemical processes in the body, right? Like, it's needed for a lot of cellular functions. And yet, if you overdo magnesium, it can cause depression. It can cause all of the symptoms that low magnesium can cause. Mm-hmm. And I was getting really depressed for a long time, and I did not realize it was the amount of magnesium that I was taking in my supplement. And so you don't want to just overdo supplements and think, oh, if I have a magnesium deficiency, let me take a lot of it. We need all of these things in balance, right? And so I don't recommend, do not supplement unless you need to. And so I put people away where you can find out all the nutrients that you're getting every single day. So then you only supplement with what you need. And then you use tincture. So you only get like the small amounts, because overloading your body is not going to do you well either. Mm-hmm. And the supplements thing is just, it's one of those, everyone always thinks more is better. And so it can impact you really negatively if you're overdoing it. So I don't recommend high supplementation to people. Not at all.
Okay, good. And there's this other piece, right? I think I just want to talk about looking at your health and being from an integrated perspective. So when people are trying to mitigate stressful situations or just stress in their lives, they'll often resort to mindfulness. And I'm not saying, as a therapist, I think mindfulness is great. If you can find a practice, whether it's meditation or whatever it is, I think that's great. But you almost have to look at it from an integrated perspective. And that's where I think everything you and I have talked about is also important. I think the mindfulness piece only gets you so far, but if you're not eating healthy or you're not managing your gut health, you're still going to be experiencing a lot of the things we've talked about, whether it's depression or stress. So I just want to get your thoughts on that, if you have anything to share, but that's just my view and I wanted to add that piece.
Now, in my opinion, you're not being mindful if you're not paying attention to all aspects of your being. Mm-hmm. It's mind, body, spirit. And being mindful means I'm aware of what I'm eating. I'm aware of how I'm feeling. I'm aware of the people I'm around. It comes down to all of it. Being mindful is not a pick and choose. Mindfulness is the whole package. It's knowing who you are and what you want, and if you're on track to becoming that person, and knowing when you're falling off of that space, right? That is what mindfulness is. It's knowing the steps that you're taking and knowing if it's going to advance you forward to who you want to become or if it's going to keep you in the same place. Mm-hmm. And I think it's scary for a lot of people to step out of the comforts of their trauma or where they've been or their relationships that are holding them back, because you're actually going to have to take responsibility for your life if you choose to move forward and want to do something better. And that's mindfulness. Like I'm hyper aware of all of my actions to the point where it's almost a fault, because I can tell you every single point that I reacted in my day, right? I can look back and be like, oh my God, that moment. And it's beautiful. But for a lot of people, they don't want to reach that space because it becomes really uncomfortable of, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. But that's how you move forward, right? Is knowing every step that you're taking. And because then you're not on autopilot. You're no longer driving and just like where you're at, when you're reacting, when you're being impatient. And that to me is what mindfulness really is. It's incorporating all of that into your life. That is integrative.
Absolutely. And there's an aspect of mindful eating too that I've covered on this podcast, but we don't necessarily take that into account as well. We almost take it for granted that, I just get it. Eating is just perfect. A chore, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to how are you nourishing your body and being mindful of it.
Right.
And there's this other piece, again, I've talked about this on the podcast, but even with fasting, often when people hear fasting, they associate it with a religious practice. But I think there's something to be said about it because, again, everything we've talked about, you're managing your consumption of food and you're controlling how many carbohydrates you're consuming and all of that. And it's regulated in a sense. So I think that now people are doing the intermittent fasting and all of that, but essentially that's what it is. Like you're being a bit more structured around how much food you're consuming and how you're consuming it within a certain window, right? Because anytime you put, the way I've come to understand is anytime you put food into your mouth, that's considered a meal, right? Even if you're calling it snacking. So just being aware of those things and perhaps looking at some of the ancient wisdom, why was it there in the first place, rather than questioning it because you have your own trauma based on religion or whatever it is. But there's something to be said. And fasting isn't for everyone either, but it's just recognizing what's the reason or the logic behind it and how can you implement it in your life in a sense that it works for you.
Yes. Yeah, I think snacking is one of the most detrimental things that people can do to their health. They need that gap for their body to actually process the meal before. And you're right. It is a meal, no matter how small of a, you can eat like a gummy bear thinking like, oh, this is just, that's enough glucose to spike your body on so many levels. And so the fasting, I intermittent fast, I do, 16:8 at this point, or 6 at this point, actually. Yeah. Because I'm thinking, I'm like looking at the time and I haven't eaten yet. And I'm like, yes, that's where I'm at. And it works best for my body because I can feel when I get into ketosis. Mm-hmm. Like I feel when I'm there and it's such a good feeling. And there's a reason for that, right? And if people could get into the science of fasting, which is what I teach too, is because then you understand why it works. It no longer becomes about religion. It no longer becomes about anything. People did this because it is the natural human thing to do, the way we evolved. We didn't eat all the time. We hunted, and that was a big portion of our dinner. And then sometimes we would find berries. And so we would have berries from time to time. Like it wasn't this like overload. Let me have this gigantic fruit smoothie. I'm going to eat this. We had things that were just like pockets. And it's something that we need to remember. Ancestral eating is intentional. They did it because that was a natural flow of our body. And so our bodies knew. Okay, we eat in the morning and then we eat at night. And it was like these two meals and it was never this overconsumption. They didn't cook in the middle of the day. They didn't go and buy processed foods in the middle of the day. And so it's just like mindful. It comes back to the mindfulness. Yeah. I'm going to skip breakfast and then I eat at 11, 12 o'clock, whatever. And then I eat again at 4. So it's in the same window. And then you're fasting that whole period, which means your body has the break it needs to completely process and digest everything that you ate. And when you don't do that, your body is just constantly trying to digest on a regular basis. And that is why you don't have energy to do things. Like that is the simplest things to remember. Like you want more energy, give your body the time to break down what it just consumed, and you'll be much better off.
Absolutely. And I think I intermittent fast too, and I find that gives me more energy. At the same time, when I cut out or reduce my consumption of carbs and completely eliminated sugars from my diet, I was miserable for a week because my body had become so dependent on that energy source or the fake energy source. But once I got past that, I feel like energized all the time. And it, so I think it's important we take that into consideration and talk through all these practices that you and I've discussed. There's so much to cover there, but I do want to give you an opportunity in terms of if there's anything else we haven't covered that you think would be of value to the listeners, please feel free to add here, because I know there's so much information here and we've already overloaded.
But I think it's just like a really big point to remember that we are energy, we are vibrational beings. And if you want to attract better into your life, you have to take the steps to move into a different vibrational alignment, right? And you can't have different results by doing the same thing on repeat. And I think that's where a lot of people do. And when they can really understand themselves and actually be mindful again of their habits, that's where they can really make the biggest changes. And I think it comes down to even not being hard on yourself when you make a mistake or when you fall back, but being aware that you fell back. And then that'll allow you to step into, okay, let me move forward again. And it's okay to take a few steps and then take one back. That's not the problem. You don't have to do everything cold turkey, but move towards the goals that you want, right? And that can be uncomfortable. That does mean that people might fall away from your life. It might mean a bunch of different things, but you really have to take charge of that and ask, if I want to be a better person or I want to do X, Y, Z in life, how do I do that? Because we are really the creator of our own reality. And you touched on something for a second and it reminded me of how I literally attracted a partner into my life who died of the same colon cancer that my mom died of. And that for me was the pivotal moment of, oh my God, I literally created this scenario. Like I was so attached to these traumatic experiences that I literally drew someone into my reality. And that for me was the moment of understanding, like, I really do create my existence. And what you focus on and what you're watching, you're listening to, all of that is going to play into how you view the world and the world that you're creating externally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lynn, I do want to give you an opportunity to share with the listeners how they can get a hold of you. What are some best ways they can find you online? I know you also shared that you're building a course. So what are some ways they can do that?
Yeah, the easiest way is just to go to my website, www.linrivers.com. And that's linrivers.com. And I have everything that you need to access on there. It's a direct link to the course. I'm doing one-on-one mindset coaching still for a short time. And all of my other links are on my website as well.
Okay. No, thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your wisdom with us. It's been amazing. I've learned a lot and I hope the listeners take a lot out of this because this is definitely an area that, as we've talked about, needs a lot more attention. And unfortunately, people are not getting the right information or they're not seeking it out. But I hope this gives something to the listeners to think about and perhaps seek out more and take their own health into their hands because that's what's needed.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Lynn. As always, please leave a 5-star review or a comment in the comment section. I always love hearing from you. And if you haven't done so, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. That's the best and easiest way to support the podcast. Also, check out the new Easy Reflections newsletter in the show notes or description, and check out the sponsors of the podcast. Thank you again, and until next week.